Appreciate that. Wonderful songs on prayer. Pray for Mike and Sherry Eves. I don't remember whether I heard that or saw that on the prayer list or not, but they're traveling to Missouri for his mother's funeral, and please be much in prayer for them as they travel, even right now. I believe I would be right in that. Maybe they're already there, but I believe they're traveling right now. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. We're looking at the church. And it's presented by many symbols or pictures in the Word of God. And one of those pictures is a body. Is a body. Wonderful aspects of the body, really. Whenever you think of it in relationship to the church, if you did not get an outline, are there any back there still? Are there any back there? Any? If there are, does anybody need one? Or do you have it from last week? Or some, okay, there's a few around. If you will, just raise your hand. They'll get to you eventually. Just keep your hand up, and they'll get to you eventually when you're doing that. I'll take a little time until they get around and serve you at the front, the back, one side to the other, just wherever. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bible, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. We live in a very stressful time. And everybody experiences that from time to time. I was talking with Aaron the other day. He said, you know, I'm getting a tightness right in here. He said, I'm getting a tightness right in here. Whenever I'm thinking about this preaching at Southwide, he said, I had to work to get a deep breath. I pant just a little bit, and I think that's good. That's good for him. But, you know, there are basically three distinct symptoms of stress. Maybe others, but three symptoms of stress. Well, one is overeating. And another is impulse buying. And another is driving too fast. Sounds like a perfect day to me, you know, I mean, just... Oh, okay, that's it for tonight. Okay, we'll get serious now. Verse 13, chapter 16, book of Matthew. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, now I will not take a lot of time to say this, but Caesarea Philippi is in the northern part of Israel, right up at the headwaters of the Jordan River at the base of Mount Hermon. At the base of Mount Hermon. That's Caesarea Philippi, named for Caesar and his favorite brother Philip. Okay? There's another Caesarea by the sea, Caesarea Maritime, which is Caesarea on the Mediterranean Sea, which is north of Tel Aviv, about 30 miles, something like that. But it's right there on the sea in an ancient Roman city there, Caesarea. But this is Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He doesn't just say, who do they say I am? Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say to him, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah the prophets, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You can't read that without the importance of that question. What others think simply leads into the question, whom do ye say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one promised from ages gone by, the one prophesied throughout the Old Testament. You are the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't identify him as Joseph's son. Not at all right here. He doesn't do that at all. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood, human reasoning, humans, people, have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, whenever it says that, you know, it's not saying that it'll not be attacked. But now, did you ever hear of a city or a nation, but in the time of Jesus, there were walled cities with the gates? And that's where the enemies tried to get into the city first, would be considered the weakest point, would be the gates. Did you ever hear of a city carrying its gates with it to go to battle? No. Do you see the picture Jesus is saying here? That the strongholds of hell will not be able to stand against the church. The picture is here of not of the church on the defense, but the picture here is a picture of the church on the offense against hell itself. And the gates of hell will not be able to stand and prevail and bear up to the attack of the church. Now we're going to look at that more fully whenever we come to, we're looking at now at the church as a body. And the next thing we're going to come to is the church as an army. And we'll look at it at that point. But where we are now is on the back of this, on the front it has the church, and whenever you come to the back, it says the church as a body. And we're in that part of the outline. And we come down to part C, and what it says in, some of you may have filled in last week on this thing, the body is one, the unity. Jesus gave himself to the church, and Paul prayed for the church and presented it as a fact. And then the body has many members, and letter C, Christ is the head of the body. Christ is the head of the body. That's basically in this point right here where we left off last week. If you want to write down the passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, it states it very clearly, and it doesn't have to state it in the Bible but one time to make it so. But in Colossians 1:18, it says the same thing. And in Ephesians 5:23, it says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Now, some people say, well, the Pope's the head of the church. But the Pope's not the head of the church. The Pope may be the head of the Catholic Church, but he's not the head of the church. You say, well, our pastor's the head of the church. Well, he may be the pastor of the church, but he's not the head of the church. Well, the deacons are the head of the church. No, no. They have position in the church. Elders. Elders are the head of the church. No. Well, this committee is the head of the church. Well, who's the head of the church? Well, now, there are certain things that the government requires, and there are people who sign documents for the church. There are certain authorized signatures at the bank to sign a check. You cannot take a check and write on there the name and the address of the church. Take a piece of paper and write on the name and the address of the church and pay to the order of so-and-so and say, I need the number for the account of Volusia County Baptist Church because I'm going to write a check from the church and I need to put the account number on here and then I'll sign it. They say, well, who are you? Well, I'm a member of that church. And, well, that's fine, and that's good, and I guess that's all right. But we don't have you here as an authorized signature. Now, I could go down there, I'd say, I'm the pastor of the church. I'm the pastor of Volusia County Baptist Church. And they'd look at that and they'd say, I'm sorry. I'm glad you're the pastor. And obviously the people have confidence in you, but we don't have you as an authorized signature. You're not an authorized signature here. You can't write a check and sign it from the church. You can't do that. I've never been an authorized signature on the checks of this church. Never have been. Now, Christ is the head of this church. Now, you got to wonder, and I always wonder about this, and I say this over and over, but whenever I read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and I read all the way down through there. Now, Ephesus, you know, okay. People at Smyrna were having such a difficult time and going through such trouble and everything. A church at Philadelphia, what a wonderful, wonderful church. You come to the church at Laodicea, but it doesn't say the church at Laodicea. It does it of the other six churches. It says the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, the church at Sardis. But it doesn't say that when it comes to Laodicea. It says to the church of the Laodiceans. It's as if the Lord says, John, I don't have anything to do with that bunch. I'm outside. I'm outside knocking on the door trying to get in. Nobody let me in. You wonder, is that a church? Is that a church? Well, the Lord called it a church, but it was their church, the church of the Laodiceans. I'm not going to preach about Laodicea because I'm going to probably do that on somewhere in the beginning of the revival. But my soul, what a bunch of folks. I'm sure they had a lovely parsonage. I'm sure that it was one of the best paying churches. I'm sure it was a desired position. There's nothing in there that says they were a wicked bunch. It just says, they said, we're rich and increased with goods and don't have any need of anything. And Lord, you can just stay outside as far as we're concerned. We got it going pretty good. Running good for us. We like the way it works. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 says, even as Christ is the head of the church. In Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head. He's the head of it all. Now, there's some other things about the head that we're going to look at in this. But the next point is this, that the body takes, the word you fill in there is orders. Orders. The body takes orders from the head. Now, I'm going to tell you, if the communication breaks down and the head does not have control of the hand, you have a real problem. Whenever communication breaks down between the head and any other part of the body, you got a problem. And it's a serious problem. It's a problem in your physical body. Now I'm going to tell you, it's a problem in the body of Christ. Whenever the members of the body are not receiving and responding to the orders from the head, it's a difficult situation. I mean, you know, this hand's not taking orders from the body. It's doing whatever it wants to do. And this left leg's just doing whatever it wants to do, or doing nothing if it doesn't want to do. We have to be in communication with the head. Every member of the body has to be in communication with the head. Now, you know this, and if you've ever been to a chiropractor and talked with them about it much, that's their whole philosophy. That's the whole idea, is that the impulses run out the spinal column and the nerve endings and everything like that, and everything's in communication all the way through the body. But it all flows from the head. And if the finger says to the head, "I'm hurting," the head says to this hand, "Run over there and help him." And you know, whenever the head tells the hand to do that, the hand doesn't say, "I don't know. He got himself into that mess." He knew better than to get in the way of that window that was coming down. It's not my fault if he's got mashed. No, he runs over there to help him. I'll say it some more before I get through with this. But not only does he run over there to help him, he takes him to the place of help. Now, I don't know why this is. It may not be true of a lady, but it's true of a man. True of a man. You get to the place, you hurt your finger. This hand runs over to help. What's there? And if it's a man, he'll do this. Now, I don't know how mashing your finger makes you limp. But it gets you more sympathy. And I think that's the way it works with us. But Christ is the head. Now, if we could just somehow get that settled once and for all, that Christ is the head and he's the one that gives the orders, and we need to obey him instantly. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Obedience is instantly. Instant obedience. Oh, where shall I go here? Let's go to the next one very quickly. We're coming up on 8 o'clock. And we'll get on down a little further. But letter E. Everyone gets in the body the same way. Everyone gets in the body the same way. Whether they're Jew or Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free. But Christ is all and in all. Everybody who's in the body got in the body the same way. Now, I don't care where you're from. I don't care what nationality. I don't care what denomination. If you're saved and in the body of Christ, you got there the same way. Now, we may differ about the way we get in certain activities of the church. We may differ about that. But if you're in Christ, if you're in his body, you got in by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him and trusting him as your Savior and his finished work on the cross as the atonement for your sins. Whatever terms you want to use, you get in the same way. Now, I'm going to tell you, whenever you hear this and read this about these movements that have Muslims and they have Confucius and they have Buddhists and they have all kinds of everything, and they say, well, we're all going to the same place and we're just getting there different ways. Just different ways getting to the same place. That is not true. That's not true. And if that's right, we're wrong. We're wrong. And that's where it comes of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. It's not talking about anything other than there's not males get in one way and females get in another way. Slaves get in one way. Masters get in one way. Bosses get in one way. Employees get in another way. It's not talking about, for ye are all one in Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I don't think I have to belabor that point. I think we here in this place would understand and agree that we all get in the body the same way. Letter F. One body, many members. Basically the way it's stated again in letter B up there. But here again, the emphasis on one body, many members. One body, many members. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that were at one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. And of course, in here, and we'll look at it in the next point, whenever we start looking at functions. There are different parts of the body have different functions. They have different offices. They have different purposes. But there are many members, but it's one body. Many members, one body. I'm not going to deal with it any more than that, and let's go on to the letter G, because we're going to spend a little time here, but not much tonight. Members have different functions. Members have different functions, jobs, or offices. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Therefore, number one, do not devalue your function or your purpose or your job. If you had to choose which finger you were going to cut off, which one would you do it? Oh, man, what are you talking about, preacher? You know, you're sure not going to cut off his finger. You're not going to cut, I don't think you're going to cut off your little finger. Did you ever try to squeeze somebody's hand without your little finger? The little finger gives strength to the rest of it. It gives strength to that. You sure wouldn't cut your thumb off. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel conquered a people and they cut off their thumbs and they cut off their big toe. Now, you understand, in battle, you're not very effective throwing a spear without your thumb. It's kind of hard to hold a bow without your thumb. Kind of hard to do that. Kind of hard to hold a sword and be effective with a sword. I mean, he rendered them ineffective for battle. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to walk very well without your big toe. And they rendered them ineffective in battle, though they let them live. They rendered them ineffective militarily by removing their thumbs and their big toe. Now, whenever it comes to this matter of not devaluing your own office, it says, and I go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and it deals with it so much in 1 Corinthians 12, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body." Now the foot says, you know, the hand gets to wave, the hand gets to clap, the hand gets to greet people, the hand gets to, you know, the hand just gets everything. It just has so many privileges, and I'm nothing but the foot. They cover me up and put something on and talk about how I stink, and they talk about all these other things, you know, and about the foot, and they make fun of the foot, and I'm just not going to do anything because I'm not the hand. I'm just nothing. I'm just not worthy of anything. Nobody likes me. Nobody pays any attention to me. But I guarantee one thing, the hand's not going to get around if you don't have a foot. Don't devalue your position. Don't say, because I'm not the hand, therefore I'm not of the body. And shall the ear say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course not. It's part of the body. What if the whole body were an eye? That's what it says. What if the whole body were an eye? Where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set in the body members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. Oh, he put the body together the way he wanted it together. Now, he did that in the Garden of Eden with a physical body. And whenever he deals in the body of the church, he puts it together the way he wants it. If we just not rebel against that. God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, there wouldn't even be a body. Where was the body? But now they are many members, but one body. What a wonderful truth. If we could get that about the body of Christ. I'm going to finish here. And I'm going to say this a little bit more about next week. Would that the hand would learn how to really be a good right hand. And for most of us, now for some of you, your left hand's a dominant hand. But would that the left hand would know how to be a good supporting cast member for the right hand? But whenever the left hand says, and I'm a right-handed person, so I use it like this. Whenever the left hand says, I don't get to feed the body. The right hand gets to do that. Why don't I get to do that? Well, now you can learn to eat with the other hand. I'm sure you can. I mean, you know, if something's happened to the right hand, you'll figure out a way.
That's right.
But normally, it is a supporting cast. Now, whenever we went to England, you know, they talk about in England, inevitably, they talk about, and I ain't talking to anybody here from England, I hope not. And if Dr. Green's watching, he's not watching. It's 2 o'clock in the morning over there. But they put that fork in the left hand and they shove it on the back of that fork with the knife and they're back at it. Like they can eat. I guarantee you they can eat. They know how to eat and they know how to eat quick. Boy, and they don't want to take time whenever they cut a piece of meat to lay the knife down, put their fork in the right hand and eat it. They don't do that. They cut it. It's in. I mean, it's done. They kid us about being so big and being heavy and everything like that, you know. But brother, they can eat. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You've never seen anyone eat until you see Pat eat. Pat Green, Dr. Green's wife. She can go for it. Now, I know somehow she's still a little old thing, but she knows how to eat. Be the left hand. If you're going to be the left hand, learn how to be a good left hand. And if you're the heart, be a good heart. Be a good heart. And if you're the voice, be a good voice. And if you're the ear, be a good ear. Learn how to listen. Some people are gifted with listening. It's a wonderful thing. But if you're gifted at listening, you need to be gifted at not talking too much. Because if you're gifted at listening, you know what will happen? People will tell you all kinds of stuff. And you don't need to retell it. Like those three preachers went out fishing. You've heard that story, haven't you? They're out fishing, and they got on this thing that they decided they would confess their faults one to another. And this one preacher, he said, I'll start. He said, I'll start. He said, I hate to say this, but he said, every once in a while, he said, I'll sneak a cigarette. He said, I'll do it. He said, I don't want to. He said, but somehow, he said, if I'm away from home somewhere, he said, I'll just do that. I'll sneak a cigarette. Next preacher, he said, well, I'll tell you, you know, he said, you know, I hate to say it, but he said, every once in a while, I'll let a bad word slip out of my mouth. He said, I'll just let a bad word slip out of my mouth. And he said, that's a fault. I confess it. And he said, I'm hoping that this will help me get to victory over it. Looked at the other fellow, and he was kind of hesitant. He was very hesitant. And they said to him, well, you got to come on now. We've opened up. He said, well, I'm just going to have to tell you. He said, my sin is gossip. And he said, I can't wait to get home. We ought not be like that. We ought not be like that. We'll get to this matter, bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what happens if you break a leg? They put something under here, put something under here, and the arms and the shoulders and the other leg carry that leg that's broken until it gets its strength back. Where the body, sometimes we have to fill in and help out. Sometimes we have to do other things. Well, we've been here a while. Let's stand up. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, a shadow or sunshine or rain. If you will, leave that book in the book rack. We're going to put some more in before Sunday and have it here for Sunday. But let's pray and ask God to bless us. And let's be a good body here in